The following presentation was recorded at a Faith Builders colloquy. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
To each one of you, it almost seems like coming home in a way. If you would turn with me to Psalms 22:6. Says, but I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. A year or so ago, I was walking through the garden with my grandson, and there was a worm there in the path, and guess what is the first thing that he did? He picks up his foot to step on it. Isn't that what a child would do? You ever watch a child? If they see a bug, they see a worm, they pick up their foot, they're going to step on it. It's no good. It's worthless. And I stopped him. And I said, wait a minute, Willie. Why do you want to step on that worm? Well, he didn't know. As is a worm, step on it. How would you like to get up every morning and look in the mirror and say, I'm a worm? Wouldn't that be a great way to start the day? I'm just a worm. People don't like me. I'm despised. I'm a reproach of men. Do you know there's people that's their concept of what they are? They'll read in Romans 12, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'm worthless. I'm just a poor person, can't do anything, nobody cares. I'm not even sure why God made me. How many people do you think there are, Christian people, that have that view of themselves, of life? Remember that phrase in the song, that saved a wretch like me. Is that really a true picture of us? Or do we realize how valuable we are to God? Did God make a worthless worm? Did He make us so we can't do anything? Did He make us no good? And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Do you realize that if you wanted to look in 1 Kings 8, when Solomon built the temple and he was dedicating it, and he said, and it was a beautiful structure, but he said, it's just stone and wood and gold. Can this contain God? This structure that I have made? And we're like that structure that Solomon made. We're just minerals and all these things, cells and skin and bones and all our parts. Can that contain God? Is that possible? And you remember what God did to that house, that temple? It says He filled it with His Shekinah glory. And it was men. And Solomon says in that prayer, and it makes my skin crawl to think about it, that this house, it was just stone and gold and wood. He filled it with His Shekinah glory, and Solomon in that prayer said that it was meant to attract the people of the world to the Lord. And that's what happened. When even that Queen of Sheba, who had seen many, many beautiful things in her life, her spirit left her when she saw that stone, wood, and gold. But it was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it's been said that if the Spirit of the Lord left the earth today, that 90% of the Christian people and the functions that they are involved in wouldn't even know the difference. They'd just go on like they had before. And that's where Samson was. He didn't know the Spirit had left him. It says he got up and he shook himself like he had before. He didn't perceive that the Spirit was gone. I trust that's not where we are. But we realize that we have this treasure in us. And that's why Jesus said, greater works than these, when the disciples marveled at what he had done. Do you ever wonder about that? He's telling them that you're going to do greater things than I am. That's a marvel, isn't it? That the believer has the opportunity, has the facilities, has the tools collectively to do greater things than Jesus did when he was here on earth. Jesus said that more than once. Greater things than these will you do. And so a true picture of us, and Paul goes on there in Romans 12 and he gives it, not for every man to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath given to every man the measure of grace. God has given you a measure of grace, charis, a gift, his Spirit. He has given that to you, and what have we done with it? I don't say that because I don't think all of us here have done nothing with it, but I say that to encourage us to realize how valuable we are to God. God isn't here speaking to the person downtown or in the gutter or wherever. He's speaking through his believers. You are God's voice box. You are God's sounding board. You are God's representative, ambassador on earth. If you would turn with me to Colossians 3. We want to read just a little bit there. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you have that gift within you, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And we say, well, what does that mean? Well, we certainly know what it means when a young man sets his affection on a girl. We understand that, don't we? What does he think about when he gets up in the morning? What does he think about when he goes to bed at night? What does he think about in between? We all understand that perfectly. The same way he's saying here, we need to set our affection. That needs to be the thing that makes us tick. It needs to be the thing that makes us alive. It needs to be the thing that motivates us each day. On things of the earth, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, that's that worm, but your life is hid in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We don't want to read all of this, but in the 8th verse, after he talks about all these evil things, he talks about the putting off. Now put ye also off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all those things. That's the putting off. Now what good does it do you? And Jesus taught this lesson when he taught about the man that, or the woman that cleansed the house and didn't fill it with something good. And the evil spirits possessed it, and it was worse off than it was before. It doesn't do any good to abandon sin if we don't turn our face toward God. It doesn't do any good to remove sin in our life if we don't take on his righteousness. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's pretty heady stuff, isn't it? That'd keep you from looking in a mirror in the morning and thinking I'm a worm. The Lord is in me. But he says, put on. In the 10th verse, you put off all that and you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. When you look in a mirror in the morning, you don't see a worm, but you see an image of Jesus Christ. That's what God sees in his believer. Now, does that generate pride? Does that generate how good I am? how great I are or how great thou art. Isn't that amazing? So we put off and we put on. And then it becomes very clear when Paul says, for if our earthly house, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we do groan, that's our affection. He's saying we can hardly wait. In this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with that house, which is from heaven. We can hardly wait to get there. But he says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We need to be a part of that 10% that if the Spirit of the Lord leaves the earth, we're in the 10% that went with the Spirit. And I don't know if those percentages are right or not, but I think it portrays a point. So I would encourage us. It's good for me to be reminded, because people around us, there's just something about us, even sometimes who we think are our friends. It's not difficult for a human being to get many, many vibes from people around him that he's a worm. You're no good. There's many, many things tell us that. Sometimes, too often, we tell ourselves that. But we need to be reminded, that's the devil speaking to us. We need to be reminded that we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. That's why he sent it, to lead us and to guide us in the way of all truth. And when we have that treasure in earthen vessels, we are valuable to God. And we can look in the mirror and we can think, Lord, this is the way you made me. This is the way you wanted me, and we can thank him for it, and we can go about the day realizing that we're just his children. In fact, Paul says in the first chapter of Galatians, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, do you know your mother didn't birth you, that Jesus Christ did? God who separated me from my mother's womb, and why did he do that? So my ears would be too big and people could laugh at me. So I stuttered and I couldn't talk right and people would laugh at me. He says that he had me born that he might reveal his son in me. And I would say to anyone that wonders why they're on this earth, you are on this earth that you might reveal Jesus Christ to the people around you. And I think that's why you're all here. That's why I'm here. God be with you.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.